This is The Ignition Point, Clayton Bradley Academy's podcast where every day we work to help students excel through critical thinking, problem solving, collaboration, and use for lifelong guidelines and life skills. Today's podcast is a part two of a Harkness conversation where I'm interviewing Scott Hussey, Steve Notis, and Josh Riggins, talking about how they use Harkness at Clayton Bradley Academy with their students in the upper school. So now we rejoin the podcast with your host, Kendall Terry. One of the things we've talked about in the podcast is this idea of my voice has value and recognizing that your voice has value. Mm. And so one of the ways I recognize your voice has value is that I'm listening with the intent to listen as opposed to listening with the thoughts of what I'm going to say next, you know, or I'm just trying to get you to stop so that I can then get on to my next point or my next question or whatever may happen. So whenever you get a group of students, whether it's a group of students that's been here, maybe you add in a couple of new people to that conversation, what is that like for those kids that maybe they're just sitting at the table like waiting to say their thing and they're not really reading the room well or they're not reading body language. Mm-hmm. They're not, you know, the things you guys mentioned as you were talking is exactly what we want everybody to be able to do. You know, when you walk into a meeting, I sit in a lot of meetings as part of my job, and there's a lot of people that are sitting in that meeting not listening to the meeting. Right. They're just waiting to say their thing. Mm-hmm. And that then, you know, it's one of those of like, well, that person really lost their opportunity to add value to that meeting then if they would have really engaged and been part of what was happening. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm hearing you guys say in these Harkness conversations. So what's that like to train a kid? I know you work with middle schoolers. Mm-hmm. Scott, you've primarily done like 9th grade and 10th grade, 11th grade. Mm-hmm. As you've been here. I know you've done all four, but you've even done all the way down to 7th. That was fun.
Yeah.
And then Josh, you've also done like 9th through 12th as you've been here. But every year we've got new kids kind of coming in and adding to that mix. So it's not just by the time you get them in 9th grade, they all know how to have a conversation and it's no problem. So what is that process even like? Like, how do you go about training kids to actually come in and engage and be part of the conversation and learn those skills that you're talking about? Does it just happen naturally, or is those those like conversations
that you're very having? Very intentional in training? And I just tell them what I'm doing. I just say we're going to learn how to do Harkness. It's the art of conversation, and I'm going to guide you so that you learn this art. And when you do learn this art, you're going to want to paint all the time. Like, you're going to like it. And they're like, okay. But like you said, you sit, Scott, at your table with the students. And I think at that age, that's super appropriate. I don't sit at the table ever with my students. So, and I tell them when they come in, I was like, this is your table. Mm-hmm. You own this table. It's not mine. It's yours. If I sit, I'm going to ask you permission. And I do. Every time I say, can I sit at your table? And they're like, yeah. You know, and it's odd for them, but I want them to know that it's theirs. They have ownership in it. And so I set like parameters and rules of conversation. But the first rule is no rehearsal. Mm. And I said, no rehearsal, because you can't listen with your whole self if you're rehearsing what you need to say. And so if there's a conversation happening and then a student pipes up and says something, I've actually had students say, did you rehearse that?
Oh, wow.
And they're like, what do you mean? They're like, well, like, we're talking about this and that's just a different topic. Could you ask if you want to change the topic? Mm. And they didn't do that at first, but my 7th graders now, after a year, they say that all the time.
Wow.
They're like, could you ask if the topic can be changed, please? And they're like, yeah. And so like 7th graders are now training the 6th graders as they're coming in. And so there's very specific things that I'm asking, like, research questions. What do you feel about a topic? It's an emotional response. And no distractions with a lack of body language or talking side by side. So they know exactly what they're there to do. And once they learn those pieces, they start flowing with them. First, they're just trying to learn how to, like, you know, shift the gears.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But once they learn that flow and that, oh man, they just do them naturally. But it takes a couple months.
I think it's a lot like coaching team sports. Okay. So if you can think of the Harkness table, a metaphor might be a soccer game, right, or a soccer team, right? Some players come in knowing how to play. Some know the concept, but not actually how to move their body that way. Some have no concept of like offensive forms or defensive forms or anything like that. And while others do, and so you all kind of learn together, right? And so it's not about having a well-rounded out form in quarter one. It's about having a well-rounded out form in quarter three.
Mm-hmm.
And so quarter one in my classroom, I'll do different things from journaling to an idea that I want them to contemplate, right? Either directly related or indirectly related to what we're going to discuss. Also sharing of annotations, right? So the students had to open up their books, show how they wrote in their books, and show questions or new words or whatever, so that, you know, we already know, okay, this is what we're going to discuss, because when they share annotations, it goes on the screen.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of just slow build to get to dynamic, insightful, engaging, amazing conversations of quarter three.
Mm-hmm.
And so quarter one, it might not look that way always, but you have to allow time for people to learn. That's what we do here, right? It's school. We learn things, right? And not everyone learns at the same rate, you know, in the same way. And so for the new student to Harkness or to CBA, they pick it up pretty quickly. And it all depends on like their comfort level in that introversion, extroversion scale, and how much they like to show off what they know or keep it to themselves, or, you know, their own kind of style. And I think that's also important. Is we might make sure I communicate to the students that they can come to conversations with a style, right? And maybe work that style. Maybe you like to ask a lot of questions. Great. Maybe you like to put it in high philosophical terms that is kind of connected to the text, but this is where you were thinking. Awesome, right? Maybe you just want to connect people, right? And so here's what I thought. What about? And then you ask your classmates. So, you know, just like a team, there's people who are better defense and offense. There's a goalie who has a specialized job, right? And so I think a Harkness conversation can also have those kind of team members that makes the group better.
That's a really good analogy. That's a really good point.
That's awesome.
So question for you guys. When you have a group of students that are new to you, how does the conversation at the table look different than, you know, what does it look like early on versus later in the year?
Well, hopefully for my class, we move away from things like plot, right, and some of those base level analysis of literary text. We move away from, you know, whether or not you like a character, or and maybe move on, and even like sometimes character motivation, and move to deeper ideas like what's the theme, what was the authorial intent, or maybe even to like stylistic choices, right? Like how did the author, what effect did the author's rhetoric have, right? And so if I can get my students into those deeper analysis, that's what I want. But, you know, ninth grade, beginning of the year, you're not going to get there, right?
Yeah.
Ninth grade, mid-year, you certainly can, right? Or at least with a portion of the class, and they can bring the rest up.
Yeah. What role does your, like, the feedback that you give, you know, during, before, or, well, how does the feedback look, you know, at the beginning for you? How important is it?
At the beginning, I have to say, where is that in the text? A lot, right?
Let's go back to the text.
Especially because a couple students come in and they think that they can get away with like general ideas, right? And so they're possibly not reading.
Yeah.
And they're seeing if possibly not reading works for them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
and like
testing the boundaries.
Right. Let's align it to something in current affairs.
Is this cold water? Hot water?
Right. Yeah. Do I go all the way up to my knee, or can I just dive right in? And so a lot of... Let's go back to the text, please.
Yeah.
But then later on, it's coaching, right? Like, you guys are dropping a point that so-and-so had. Let's come back to... That was a really good point.
Yeah.
Or did you hear the line that they just read? Let's look at that one line.
Yeah.
Right? Like, can we expand on that? And so I come in and I come out, depending on when needed, but I consider myself more of a coach mm-hmm. in that role.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I would liken it to a guide. I view myself as like, I'm your guide. Mm-hmm. Hello, welcome to I'm the artist. I'll be your guide.
They're going on a quest.
In sixth grade, it's really fun to answer your question. Thanks for the question. That was mm-hmm. a really good one. In sixth grade, they're just starting for the first time to kind of venture out into the world outside of the concreteness of their thinking of the elementary. And so they ask a lot of closed questions. So they'll ask a lot of yes or no. When did this happen? Do you who fought that war? Or what were they fighting over, money or rice or whatever? And we talk a lot about asking open-ended questions that have more than a yes or no, or more than one answer. And so I see that shifting. Well, what did you think about? How did you feel? How do you feel about this event happening? And those questions start to open up like later in the year. And then I see them starting to like tie it to the text. But yeah, they're learning how to be abstract. They're learning how to delve into murky water where I can't really clearly see the answer here, or there's both sides are kind of have valid points and I'm bothered by it. And that really makes great conversation, you know?
Yeah. Both sides are valid and I'm bothered by that, right?
Yeah.
Right. I don't like that. We should win, they should lose.
Well, our culture is like, right. So they see our culture all around us, like mm-hmm. being like, if you're not on their side, you're wrong, you know?
Yeah.
And then they experience something different there and say, oh, I totally disagree with you, but you have a point.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite things to hear in a conversation.
And it's so respectful. Right? Like, yeah. They can still be friends.
Yeah.
They don't have to agree.
Right. Yeah. I disagree, but, right?
I love that.
Yeah.
Right?
I disagree, enter the person's name, mm-hmm. right? When I'm taking notes, I make sure that using someone's name.
Yeah, the confidence that right. they're building there.
Right, and it's to let them know it's okay to have disagreement mm-hmm. over these ideas. Like, we're not going to agree. Mm-hmm. Even, you know, we do have differences that are at CBA and allow students to voice that. Right?
Yeah. Not perceive it as a threat.
Exactly.
Right. Learning how to avoid straw-manning, you know, somebody that you don't agree with and not resorting to... you know, personal attacks and stuff mm-hmm. like that.
I heard a great conversation in your room one day, Scott. I was just doing walkthroughs, you know, and I'd walked into your room. You were in the middle of a Harkness conversation, and it was this kind of conversation where in the text they were talking about they saw the religious practice almost, mm-hmm. and it wasn't a book necessarily about a religious practice, but it was. I think it was involving nature, and the person was in nature, and the person that was talking was saying like, I connect this up to like this kind of religious belief.
Mm-hmm.
And it was wild in listening to the kids, each of them started bringing in like this personal belief. Mm-hmm. Nobody in that was judging or anything like that to like, why would you do that? That's not something that we would do, you know. But it was, wow, that's very similar to what we do in this over here mm-hmm. and recognizing this. And mm-hmm. somebody else jumps in and wow, that's related to this. Mm-hmm. It was a couple of years ago that I was
remember
in there.
It. They're seniors now. They were freshmen when okay. this conversation. I know what you're talking
and
about.
And it was wild just sitting there because I thought at the time, so that would have been like probably sophomore level or
mm-hmm.
Or so freshman or sophomore level. But I remember listening to this conversation going, how many high school classrooms can say that conversation happened and nobody got up from the table of like, well, I ain't talking to him anymore. Yeah. It was just this like respect of, I get it. I see where you're coming from. And that's similar.
And I remember mm-hmm. that was an organic conversation too, Kendall, yeah. right? Like, it's not as if I had my lesson plan, get kids to talk about their religious beliefs, right? Like, mm-hmm. I had no idea that was going to happen. Right. And the way it just organically came up in the conversation, it was The Alchemist. We were reading The Alchemist. Okay. And yeah, it was a great book for ninth grade Harkness. And then one student shared, and I did my kind of coaching. Yeah, I understand similar to this concept, yeah. right? And then another student brought in their right values, and mm-hmm. next thing you know, we have students sharing the lens through which they're reading this novel.
Yeah.
Right? And they don't even know that that's what they were doing, but to have that happen is one of those kind of magical moments that Harkness can provide with some form of regularity.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't know of any other pedagogy in humanities where I can get those kind of group dynamic magic moments of vulnerability and intellect and like culture, right? Yeah. And just this agreement that, yeah, we do view things through our own cultural lenses, yeah, right? And to then hear your classmates a little bit more clearly in a way that they might not share at lunch.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool. And
I think it was getting past the superficial side of maybe what they would have said is their values or belief, and you were starting to see glimpses into like what they truly like latched onto, what was truly making an impact in their life.
Yeah.
And it was past that superficial of just like that easy, this is my thought or this is my stance.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was part of that I think deeper conversation happening.
It cuts through like dogma of all kinds and helps students understand, because a lot of them don't necessarily understand what they really believe.
Yeah.
And communicate that to other people.
That's a good point.
Yeah. It is critical thinking, right? Like if part of our mission is to help students develop critical thought.
Oh, yeah.
That is critical thought, right? Like to weigh someone else's point of view as through their lens as well, right? Like to know both their point of view and how they got there, right? is an incredible thing to like figure out, and then to apply that to your own critical thinking, where you can then say, okay, I don't agree with them, but I now understand how they got to their point, and I see their point is valid, right? At least valid for them, right? That's a whole lot of humanity right there.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a skill that in the culture we live in, it's a skill that gets lost so much, you know, and it's like, man, how much more, we're in the middle of an election cycle. How much more would that add to the conversations that are being had and you know, just the community at large of let's go deeper in this.
And then I think the other side is it frees the teacher a little bit from, so there's always a concern as a humanities teacher, as a social studies teacher, as an English teacher who puts together like, you know, challenging texts, right?
Yeah.
Or claims of indoctrination, you're trying to indoctrinate my kid. No, I'm not at all. But I have to put ideas in front of them so they can question their own thinking, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then if I don't present a viewpoint with that, right? Like, here's the point of view of how you're supposed to see 1984, right?
Yeah. Here's what I think.
Here's what I think. And if you disagree, just keep it to yourself.
Because that's the answer on the test.
Right. I don't share. Right. Exactly. I don't share anything about my viewpoint. My viewpoint is questioning yours, and you know, to dig deeper.
Yep.
But then it allows students to come and share their viewpoint, right, to each other, and that allows me to have critical thought with challenging text while also staying very clear of the I'm trying to lead your student somewhere. I'm trying to lead them to the point that they need to get to, not the one I want them to go to.
Right.
It brings up a question for me that we are not going to have time on this segment, because just like you said, in the Harkness in your room, you go by 30 minutes really quick. We've got about 40 here. So depending on how it edits out, it might be this much or a little bit less. But, you know, I would love to kind of dig in with you guys on how has that changed then the assessment side.
That's a whole conversation.
That's a whole nother conversation, because if students are really getting to that point, then, you know, we joked about, well, this is the answer on the test, so you better be able to write this. Because, I mean, we probably all sat in rooms that you knew, I better take this stance when I write that answer so that I can get the grade I need and move on. And that's really not what I wanted, but I felt like I had to.
And you feel like you don't have a voice.
Right, and my voice doesn't matter. It's just whatever the teacher was wanting me to get. And so it'd be interesting to hear how, like that assessment piece, that writing piece, like what have you seen as you've used Harkness? How does that change those students' ability then to express themselves? I'm gonna, you know, we're probably gonna try to sit down again and
go part two.
Yeah, part two assessment from Harkness.
This is
Harkness.
Harkness.
This is the Harkness of Harkness.
That's awesome.
So thank you all for staying down. I want to be respectful of your time. I know you guys got class. I appreciate you spending a little time today talking about this.
Let's do it again.
Thank you so much. Yeah, absolutely.
This has been The Ignition Point, Clayton Bradley Academy's podcast, where every day we work to help students excel through critical thinking, problem solving, collaboration, and use of our lifelong guidelines and life skills. If you'd like to find out more about our school, you can visit us on our webpage, www.claytonbradleyacademy.org, where you can find us on social media sites at CBA STEM or at Clayton Bradley Academy. We hope you have a wonderful day.